Okay, what we're about to hear is a Cajun culture session. Today's date is the 9th of July, 1997. We're about to hear a Cajun culture session entitled Carrying on the Tradition with Larry and Jackie Miller, CFMA Award presentation, Brenda Mounier, Tracy, Peter, Nancy, and others.
After that, we're going to bring up Rose and Matt and Charlie and Peter and Tracy. Oh, the Fado Dough. There's one this afternoon? There's the dance party at 4 to 5 in the pavilion. Okay. And then the party, the Fado Dough party, is the one that's at 7 o'clock. That's the one we just had discussion about how much to pay for the gumbo. But that's a good thing you brought that up, because that's going to start at 7 and the food is going to be served at 8. Hallyhurst porch. Question? Yeah, that's been changed. We'll put that on the bulletin board also as an announcement. But the food is going to be at 8 tonight. So, okay. So, Brenda, if we could call you up now. Brenda? Okay, it's a treat to have Brenda Mounier here with us today. And we understand that you've been involved in this, the tradition, the culture, the language for quite a long time. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how you learned to speak French and a little bit about your educational background.
does this go up a little bit? I guess if you were at the concert last night, actually I got kind of nervous up there and I said some things last night that I was going to say here today. I don't want to bore you with repetition. I was born and raised, speaking Cajun French. We live in a small community that is predominantly French speaking, so my mom really has never had any need. Her world is really quite small. Just in the immediate neighborhood or town or something. Not that she hasn't been to Houston to see her brother once. But she just never had really any need to speak French because we spoke it. Since she spoke it to us, that's all she could speak. And the grandkids speak it, but the great-grandkids and great-great and great-great don't. But my dad was out, I guess, a little bit more, and so he was around more French speakers and more young men, I guess. And he learned a little bit more, except a lot with The Price is Right. I had mentioned that last night. And I remember not even studying French in high school because I thought, I already know it, so why should I study it? But I didn't know how to read it or write it. And when I went to college, I wanted to major in French. In Spanish. And they didn't, because I already spoke French, and they didn't offer, the college was so small, it didn't offer a degree in Spanish. So I went into French, and that's kind of how I happened to end up being a French teacher. And I studied in France and in Canada, lived a year in France, went to Canada, and also went to France several times, took student groups over there. And in the early 80s, really, I think it's really Tunisians in France that we heard on radio one night some Cajun music playing, and they said, come hear this, I think it's some Cajun music on the radio. This was 1979, and it just hit my heart. All of a sudden, shock. I was letting go in too late last night. I'm really tired, so I'm getting emotional. And that's kind of what hit my heart, and came back and started getting involved with some friends that we are now activists in Louisiana in promoting the French language, because the music is beautiful and so is the food is delicious and stuff. We've got to keep that language alive, though, because if we don't, eventually it won't be in the songs anymore, and it will disappear. Even the music will, even though that sounds hard to believe, it will. It will be a matter of time. It might be 50 years, it might be 25, it might be 20. I've seen a lot of change in even 10 years.
Yeah, it's an important job you're doing to help keep the language alive. I understand you've actually done some writing, and maybe you have something you've written you'd like to share, or a story you'd like to share with us.
With this reawakening, this renaissance that's going on in the language in Louisiana, there are people, I mean, even young people and young musicians that are writing their own songs, but also there's a new literature coming out in Louisiana from everywhere. And there's I should have brought the Codafil. You may have seen in the cafeteria, there's a little Codafil poster that I put up there. Codafil stands for the Council for the Development of French in Louisiana. And it sponsors a category out of the Deep South Writers Conference for French poetry and prose. And it's a person from, I think, Minnesota that won it this year. So it's spreading even more. I have written several things, and I brought two of them today to share with you. And last time, and I know it's new people that are here, but last time I had written a poem by a guy who inspired me to write, who's a professor of folklore at USL, Dr. Barry Antelet, who is the MC also at the Liberty Theater. And he has this book out called Je suis Cajun, and it's in French and in English, and it's very interesting to read from. It would take kind of long to read the poem, and I have some other things too, and we have other people to come on, so I think I'll skip it today.
Is there somewhere, do you have copies of that, or can they come and see you sometime if they want to
of the book? No, that's the only copy I brought. But I can give them names of bookstores in Lafayette where they could write for it. I should have brought some, I guess. I mentioned the state mandate that I teach French in 4th and 5th grade to 9 and 10 year olds. And that's a separate program. It's a half hour a day. That's a separate program from the immersion program that I explained last night. Codafil, the Council for the Development of French in Louisiana, is also, by the year 1999, we're going to have the World Acadian Reunion. It's a fish show, huh? Suffish show, Jack.
We're sorry about that. The air conditioning isn't working at the moment.
and in anyway, 1999, it's going to be a World Acadian Reunion in Louisiana. In 1994, there was one in New Brunswick, Canada, and everybody went up there, and now they're coming down to Louisiana. They always have dreamed of coming to this exotic land. They think it is, and it's really not, except for the bayous, I guess, and the moss hanging from the trees. I guess it can be exotic in a way. And by that time, we hope we have, Codafil has launched this program called ABC 2000. Well, that's 1999, so it won't quite be done, but almost. We're trying to teach native speakers of French, Cajun French, to read it and write it, because they don't read it and write it unless they've been educated in French, like I went to school for it. ABC 2000. So anyway, I'll share a poem with you. I'll read it in French, and then I'll tell you what it means in English. Because I wasn't always proud of being able to speak French. I've come a long way on that. And I don't mean to, I hope we don't sound like, wow, look who we are. It's y'all that have made us realize what special thing we have, I guess. After 200 years, we're still there and still speaking French. This poem is called Réflexions, Reflections. Ayut été cher, y a si longtemps que je te cherchais, et t'étais droite en dessous de mon nez tout le temps. Je t'appréciais pas quand je te vivais, mais c'est pas drôle, et je connaissais même pas qui toi t'étais, mais j'étais obligée de t'écouter et t'écouter. Mais à cette heure que je suis loin de toi, je me trouve à prêcher, essayer de trouver le son d'un violon qui me fera danser. Ouais, à cette heure, tu me fais danser. À cette heure que je t'ai trouvé, je peux pas danser assez. Et je vais mourir sans avoir assez dansé. T'es dans mes veines si fortes, tu me fais pleurer. Tellement je t'aime. À cette heure que je connais qui toi t'es et qui moi je suis. On s'adonne bien, hein, ma Louisiane. I don't know how many people understood that, but the basic translation is, oh, where were you, Shah? Shah, there's so long that I've been looking for you, and there you were, right underneath my nose all the time. And I really didn't appreciate you when I lived with you. It's no wonder I didn't even know who you were, but I was forced to listen to you in that French. But now that I'm far away from you, I find myself looking for the sound, trying to find the sound of a fiddle that'll make me dance. Yeah, now you make me dance, now that I've found out who you are. I can't dance enough. I'm going to die without having danced enough. You're in my veins so strongly that you make me cry. I love you so much now. Now that I know who you are and who I am. We get along well, don't we, my Louisiana? I've read this a lot of times. I don't know why it does that to me today. I wrote one to my mom, who, one night I was talking to somebody and he said, gosh, I wish I had learned French, but my parents didn't speak French to me. They spoke it when they didn't want me to understand what was going on. And I'm sure that happened in other cultures too. And I realized that that's not what happened in my family. And this prompted me to write this to my mom and see if I can get through this. Chère maman, il y a quelque chose que je dois te dire quand même. Je connais que tu ne peux pas lire ni écrire en français ni en anglais. Tu nous as donné le pays de la joie, comme dit la chanson. Toujours bien soigné, bien élevé, bien montré, bien parlé et en français. Tu n'as jamais appris l'anglais, ça fait un peu rien te rapprocher comme les autres font aux autres. Et à cette heure, moi et mes sœurs, on se parle en anglais quand tu es là, chère maman. Et si ça ne fait pas l'affaire, on va l'espeler et comme ça, on est sûr que tu n'as pas compris. Eh oui, c'est comme ça qu'on te remercie, l'ironie de la vie. Je te demande pardon, mom. Je te demande pardon. I've written better, more uplifting poems than this. Anyway, dear mom, there's something that I have to tell you, even though I know that you can't read nor write in French and English. You gave us the world in a bottle, le pays de la jogue, like the song says. Always well raised, showed us well, spoke to us well, and in French. You never learned English, so we really can't reproach you anything, that you didn't teach us anything like the others do to the others. But now, me and my sisters, we speak to each other in English when you're there, Mom, so that you don't understand what we're saying. And if that doesn't do the trick, we spell it out loud, and then we're sure you haven't. Oh, yeah, that's how I thank you now, huh, Mom? Please, please forgive me.
Thank you. Those are beautiful. Thank you for sharing them with us.
And it's called Passing It On. And I have some young people that I'd like to join me today. Because in Passing It On, I've been working the last 2.5 years with Ali Dai and Moise Viator and tutoring them specifically with directions from their parents in Cajun French. Their dad is a professor of law at Loyola, and he is working on there are several people working on a Creole dictionary that should come out in a year or a year and a half. And very, very dedicated to the cause. They live it, they breathe it, they sing it. Anyway, when we started a few years ago, I didn't really have to start from scratch because, you know, he really practices the language with them. And their mom is always there to monitor, to make sure that they listen. So over the years, I feel like they've made a lot of progress. And now, all we do is they journal. Even up here, they brought their journals, and they write. And they are the ones that determine what the lesson and the structures will be that we discuss and teach in class. And I asked them to share, to read for y'all, some of the things that they've written. And then Ali Da is also writing songs in French, and there's one that I'd like for her to share with you that I think you'll enjoy toward the end. Okay, Ali Da et Moïse, vous êtes venir?
Yes. Okay.
Okay, you want to read it first?
No, c'est ton tour.
Okay, this is about Augusta, and some of it might be shocking to you all, but I'm going to tell you a little bit what it's about, but if I think something's a little bit too shocking, I'm just going to say I'm not going to tell you what it's about, you know. Okay, aujourd'hui, c'était notre premier jour à Augusta. Je suis content que mon roommate a pas reconflé. Renflé, excuse me. J'ai passé un bon temps parce que ici, il y a beaucoup les belles femmes. Now, I think y'all understand what that means, okay. Okay. Ce soir, c'était la danse. Eddie et Danny Poulard, I think y'all understand that one too, a joué pour ça. Demain, on va jouer pour le meeting de culture et demain au soir, on va écouter des musiques zarico. Hey, allez da.
Okay.
Take it away.
Testing, okay. this is about on the way to Augusta and the first day, Sunday. Ce matin, je m'ai levé à 6h30 et on a parti pour Augusta. Après ça, on a mangé déjeuner qui était pas bon. Mama a drive le char pour 7h aujourd'hui. Ça, c'est pas un bon temps. Et quand on arrivé, c'est Augusta, on a halé notre bagage. Après, j'ai rencontré tous mes amis d'Augusta. Après ça, j'ai rencontré tous mes amis d'Augusta. Je voudrais passer un bon temps avec mes amis, mais la crème de glace a crié mon nom. Je souhaite que mes fesses ne vont pas profiter avec un tas de glace. À ce stade, je veux exercice dessus une mountain pour sauver mes fesses.
Okay,
he's talking about.
Okay, you want to tell me?
Okay, I'll leave you with a text.
Talking about all the ice cream that she ate and how they fast are going to, now she needs to go exercise in the mountain. Isn't that great? Let's have a hand for Brenda and her protégés. They're going to do one song for you.
Asta, je veux chanter une chanson que j'ai écrite avec mon père. La chanson s'appelle « Tu vas pas me courtiser, hormis tu pas français. » Which means you can't court me unless you speak French.
Tu vas pas me courtiser. Tu vas pas me courtiser.
we could get our other staff musicians who are going to come on up. I have a quick announcement to make, but if we could get Matt and it's all Matt and Rose, Tracy, Charlie, whoever's here. It was announced that Balfatujira will be selling T-shirts at the dance party tomorrow. They're playing for today's party from 4 to 5 up at the pavilion, so they will have their T-shirts today up at the pavilion for sale. Okay, and that's Balfatujira. Is Peter here? Okay, so we might be doing without Peter. Another quick announcement. Someone, Mary Jo Slattery, if you know who that is, had a tuner last night up at the jam at the pavilion, and it's not there anymore. We don't know if someone picked it up by accident. It's a Matrix tuner?
Black Matrix.
A Black Matrix tuner, and you can see Andy.
Or
give it to one of us. Thank you. Yay, here's Peter. Come join us. Okay. All right, this is, as I said before, this is a carrying on the tradition, and Peter, if you'd join us, please. Here we go. Okay. Let's see. So these folks up here have been involved in Cajun music for quite a while. They're familiar faces, I'm sure, to many of you. And I think, Tracy, Robert, if you put the mic on Tracy, that's good, because we're going to ask Tracy first to talk just a tiny bit here. Tracy, Cajun music, of course, has been a fairly isolated geographic area for a very long time, and has been seen really an explosion around the country. And we wondered whether you could talk a little bit about your role in that, because you have really been an ambassador going around the country, cultivating little pockets of musical interest. And I know when you came up to Connecticut recently, you were able to get John Walker, for example, to play, who was one of the early fiddle students here, and he's now is playing with Tracy. So that kind of thing must be very heartening to you. And we wondered if you'd talk a little bit about, from your perspective, what's happened over the years. Yeah. Good word. Conduit for this music, yes.
The old pipe. The T.O. Well, let's see. How to draw my thoughts together quickly. I'm not sure I have any. Although, I will say, I've been talking to some others, some of the other instructors like Danny and so on, and saying, look at all these people. Isn't it nice when you get here on Sunday and then you go out to the Hallyhurst porch and you walk around and you listen. So, that sounds pretty good. Who's that? What? She used to be one of my students. There's another one there. And it's like, you can hear the progress every year. So it is, it's expanding exponentially. I got attracted to Cajun music because of being at a lot of folk festivals in the 60s when I was working with the New Lost City Ramblers. We often were at the same festival as many of the traditional acts, and among them was the Balfour Brothers and Mark and Mark Savoie, sometimes with them, sometimes with the other groups, and we just had a lot of contact with them, and you know how it is, and you get a bunch of musicians together, they don't go to bed at night, you know, at 10 o'clock or anything like that. They just seem to have this this inclination to stay up for a few minutes beyond 10 o'clock, and trade a lick or two, you know, until 4 or 5 in the morning. And we did a lot of it. And I just have to pass one little story on about how after one of the Newport festivals, they gathered everybody and forced them into one room. You know, that is with presenting the arts. Anyway, they didn't need to do much forcing. Everybody was into partying, and we had a band made up of two or three Cajuns, two or three bluegrassers, old-time musicians. There were the Teatro Campesino was there from out on the West Coast. And everybody was dancing with everybody else. And it was really a very successful party, you know, from their point of view, I'm sure. And ours, too. And here we are, playing along, and I'm trying to see if I can't grab on to a tune or two, just a few notes maybe in the Cajun style, because I'd heard a bunch of it and had a Austin Pete LP from way back in the early 60s that I had been listening to so much I was playing the other side of it. And we were playing along, and all of a sudden Dewey turns to me and says, "Take it, Tracy." And so I did my best, and I just was hoping, "Don't worry about the melody," he said. "Don't worry about the melody. Just be sure you're in the right chord." Okay, and I got through with it, and I more or less was in the right chord, I guess, and he turned to me and he said, "Tracy, you've got to come to Louisiana. You play that French music so good." So maybe he was working for the tourist department. I don't know. But it worked on me. Unfortunately, I didn't do it right away. That's the only regret I have, that I didn't get down there sooner. Dewey decided that since he had seen a record I had made on the country fiddle, he decided he wanted to do the same thing for Cajun fiddle. He always had some sort of campaign in mind that would do more for the Cajun culture. And it's hard to keep fiddlers going in a situation like that when you have like an accordion that's so hide this thing. When the accordion is so attractive, you know. That's what all the guys want to play it, especially. It's like a banjo in the mountains, you know. Yeah. The loudest one and the coolest and the hottest instrument, that's what the guys want to play. Naturally, I wanted to play it too, of course. So. After hearing and doing the editing of the tapes that we had made together when I came down to 75 to work with Dewey on this fiddle instruction thing, we got two LPs out of it. Mo Ash was the owner and director of the Folkways Records at the time, and he said, "Yes, do a Cajun record." And then I came back and I called him up and said, "Mo, I've gone through and timed it all out. I went over time. I said, I've got enough for two LPs." And it was a great answer back. "So make two LPs." That took care of that. So we had one, which was the Rodney, Dewey's brother, called it the push-pull record. It's pull a bow, push the bow. It was a push-pull record. And the other one was like little pieces here and there of the music in various, the fiddle in action, in other words, at the CC's Lounge, at the Lakeview Park, Mardi Gras, and things like that, and a few stylistic tricks that Dewey showed as well. So, in a sense, I guess interesting to note off the top of my head that Steve Riley learned that song, J'aimerais te pardonner, from that second record. And there's a bridge in it, and I didn't include the bridge in there. I just had a little snip of it, you know. So now it's known without the bridge. You know, always be complete. Remember that. Okay. But this is what goes into making it happen, I think. It's just we wanted to get the good news out. I'd been infected by it, and I wanted to spread it around. And I just think I was doing what come naturally. Almost didn't even have a choice. It just grabbed me. So I found that the Cajuns were some of the most encouraging and generous people I had known, open arms. And Dewey had the sixth sense. Yes, it is Wednesday. That, and like Mountain Fiddler, like Tommy Gerald, and some of these others too, he had no problem with somebody coming from up north or from out west, you know, who knows where, coming from the outside in to learn the music. No fears of theft, you know, of their culture, anything of that sort. Dewey intuitively knew that this was good for Cajun music. And for me, it's just been, you know, just kept on going. And I never would expect it would get to this stage, that it was going to be infecting so many people again and again. But then when I look back on it, I said, why not? Because it's a real good thing. I think it's good for everybody.
Thank you, Tracy. We wondered if you'd all play a song together, and then after that we'd like to ask everybody else just to say a word or two about a few words. We've been running short on time already, but a few words about your musical influences and maybe how you got started in this music, because people are always interested in that. While they're getting ready, I'll just mention, it was interesting, Peter last night, I'm sure a lot of you were at the concert, and Peter said about Tracy, there's the old block of which I'm a chip of. I really like that expression, and I think Peter's been raised in this musical tradition.
Okay, you all are expecting that we're probably going to do a real hot number, right? It's really going to really have lots of kicking power into it. No, this is Wednesday, forget it. I remember one thing that Dewey said that stuck with me from back from those early days. He said, Cajuns play two waltzes for every two-step because you can put more soul in a waltz. So let's do a soulful waltz. Tous les soirs. That's a good one. Tous les soirs. Let's do that. Every night. Every night on Hallyhurst porch is a jam session. Tous les soirs. I remember Dewey saying about that, too. He said the first time that they heard an auto harp player by the name of Kilby Snow do that. He did the country version, which came from Johnny and Jack. And so the Cajuns were knocked out. They thought that had started out being a Cajun song. I think it came from Johnny and Jack. Anyway, tous les soirs.
Thank you. Sure.
All right.
Hey, you cannot believe that how much this song is getting played on the radio back home. And you know, I've been on stage with the Mamou Playboys playing 3-4 times a month in Louisiana, huge, big shows all the time. And suddenly people are like, "What's your name? Who's this other guy, Tracy Schwartz?" And we keep hearing this song, you know, that song about Houston Lejeune. And I said, "Well, that's my dad." And like, "Oh, all right." So finally, I'm somebody in Louisiana because Papa has a hit on the radio.
Well, that's justice. That's full circle for you. Because ever since Peter went to Louisiana down there, I've had to say, "Hi, I'm Tracy Schwartz. Oh, hi. I'm Peter's daddy." "Oh, hey. All right. Well, nice thing about this song is it just, I kind of catch myself singing it when I'm trying to get going in the morning, and then I'll let the meatball roll, because it's Houston Lejeune. I remember hearing him down there years ago, and it just kind of seemed to me like it was a nice, nice additional amount of energy put into his style of announcing. He could start out, with this huge yell, "Oh, let the meatball roll, yeah!" And then, you know, whatever it is, the program or the dance would start out. And then he kind of dropped out of scene for a while because he had some heart trouble. Maybe from those yells, I don't know. At any rate, the last time I saw him, though, he looked like the picture of health. He really seems to have recovered nicely, and that made me feel happy, because that expression somehow, to me, it's not the whole Cajun thing, but on the other hand, it kind of shows the amount of energy sometimes that goes into a standard thing like just communicating. I mean, some DJs now you hear on the radio, they sound like they're a machine. I mean, a really slow-running machine. It's just not much there. And then you go to a place like Louisiana and you get all this personality there. So I wrote a little song about him, put it together, and we kind of recorded it. And if I remember right, it was one of the songs that required the least amount of blood, sweat, and tears to get it recorded in decent shape. It seemed to come a little quicker than some of the others, probably because we weren't measuring ourselves against the standard of a previous master.
No, that's the least part. You can do it. You can sing bass. Okay.
You know, apparently, the reason, I mean, how did he come up with that expression? Do you know the story about that? Apparently, he was trying to say, "Let the good times roll." But he was so drunk, it came out. "Let the meatball roll." So he stuck with it. It sort of made sense, so.
Yeah, that's good. Capitalizing, it's going. Dans la Louisiane, y'a pas longtemps, tous les samedis, entre mes amis, on écoutait K.U.N. Le meilleur DJ, ça c'était Houston Lejeune. Oh, let the meatball roll, shout!
Let the meatball roll.
Party, party, baby, let the meatball roll.
Moi je manque le vieux Houston, tous les samedis sur K.U.N.
monde savait qu'il était là. C'est quand Théorie commençait à précrier. Oh, mais let the meatball roll, yeah.
Let the meatball roll.
On est pas vrai, bébé, let the meatball roll.